Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 15. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you. If we haven't met before, my name's Mark. I'm a member of the church here. Let me pray for God's help before we get started on this. Father God, we deserve nothing from you, and it really is incredible that the words we've just heard are your words to us. Father, please help us to treat them as your words and to be all ears. To be really devoted to listening to this good news. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, friends, I wonder how you felt when you realized that we were going to be thinking about prayer today. I wonder if there's anything in life where the idea is so simple, just talking to God, but the actual doing of it we find so difficult and so awkward. Even during this pandemic, when we've probably been aware of just how much of a lifeline prayer is, we find it hard, don't we? We get hung up on what other people are going to think of our prayers. Or we get hung up that we're not talking to God the right way. Or we worry that we're not asking for the right things. Or we think God's just not that interested in us. Or we worry that we're not worthy to talk to him. And you put those things together, or at least some of them, and at least for me, it generates a kind of awkwardness and a kind of reluctance and a kind of flatness about praying. And if you're a Christian here this morning, my guess is you'd say, yeah, I need help when it comes to prayer. I need help. To which Jesus says, great, let me help you. Because isn't it wonderful that the whole passage we've just read is Jesus's teaching us about prayer. He knows we find it hard. He wants to help us. And we are getting a chance to learn from the absolute master, aren't we? Nobody ever prayed with such devotion and such depth as Jesus did. Anything he can teach us about prayer is going to be gold dust in our Christian lives, isn't it? By the way, if you're not here as a Christian, I guess prayer might not seem very relevant to you. But I'm so glad you're here with us this morning because, well, first of all, I wonder if you do pray sometimes. I know a lot of folk who don't believe in God, they still end up calling out to him when the going gets really tough, even if they're not sure he's really there. And to put it bluntly, if you're not a Christian, I want to offer you something much better than that. I'm going to be talking about this extraordinary way of having this direct access to God, which only Christians can have. But my hope is it sounds really attractive to you, because it can be yours. It is something that is for everyone who believes in Jesus, and it really is quite wonderful. Now, the thing Jesus wants us to get about prayer, the big lesson 101 from Jesus, the master prayer, it is very, very simple. In fact, if you look at the passage, maybe you've still got it with you, Matthew 6, 5 to 15, or maybe if you think back to what Andrew read, maybe you noticed there was a word that just kept coming up. Or if you've got it open, you can have a look. I bet you'll be able to spot it for yourself. There's a word that just keeps on coming up in those 10 verses. And it's the word Father. Jesus mentions it 7 times just in this little chunk. Because it turns out the one thing he wants us to get about prayer is this image of a little child coming to their dad for help. Not a person groveling before a king or a criminal pleading before a judge, but not a person stuck on hold to the department of something or other for 3 hours, but a little child talking to their father. Now, I get that for some of us that might be a really hard image. We might have had terrible times with our earthly fathers. We might have had no time at all. Even that word might be quite a painful one. But friends, I guess if we have had terrible times like that, there's a reason we know they were terrible, which is that we know what a good father should be like. A good father should be kind and patient and reliable and strong and absolutely always with you. And that is the kind of image God wants us to have of God when it comes to prayer. Actually, this idea of God being our Father, it's not just the whole idea of prayer. It's the concept that makes sense of this whole section of Matthew's Gospel. We've been going through these 3 chapters, which get called the Sermon on the Mount, and they're such practical chapters. They're about anger and loving your enemies and giving, and they're about worry, and they're about judgmentalism and all sorts of stuff about the Christian life. But all the way through these 3 chapters, Jesus keeps on mentioning God is your Father in heaven. God is your Father in heaven. And why does he keep saying that? Because the way these chapters work is it's not that you do all these good things in order to make God your Father. It's the other way around. You do all these good things as a Christian because God's already made you his Father. When someone joins a new family, what is the natural thing for them to do? It's to start acting out the family likeness. It's to start acting like they're actually a member of that family. It's to start becoming like mum and dad. The whole way the Christian life works is it's not about earning your place in the family. You get that for free if you believe in Jesus. It's about living it out. That's why Jesus keeps on mentioning in these 3 chapters, God is your Father in heaven. God is your Father in heaven. And guess what? It's the same when it comes to prayer. Prayer is not a way for us to sort of earn our place before God. It's a way of living it out. Prayer is not about earning the right to speak to God. It's about enjoying the ability to speak to God. You see the difference? And that has all sorts of implications. That makes all sorts of differences to the way that we pray. Here's one difference. We covered it last week, so I'm not going to talk about it in detail. But have you ever prayed with a group of people and just frozen because you're so worried about what the other people in the group are going to think of your prayers? They're just going to sound like the most pathetic thing to the other people in the room. Well, Jesus was talking last week in verses 5 and 6 about people who prayed for the sake of other people. They prayed to look impressive. And we can do that. Or we can do it the other way around, where we're so scared of what people will think that we don't pray at all. But Jesus said, don't worry about what the other people think of your prayers. Just pray to your Father. He says that in verse 6. Just pray to your Father who hears you anywhere and anyhow. Because when you really get that God is your Father, isn't that all the approval you could ever wish for? And it really stops you worrying about what other people think of your prayers. And that is so liberating. But we talked about that last week, so I won't dwell on it. The main thing I want to mention this week comes in verse 7. And it's to do with the fact that we don't have to pray in a special way. Now, this is so liberating. Verse 7, Jesus says, don't babble like the pagans who think they will be heard because of their many words. Don't babble on like that because your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Now, if you'd gone to any kind of temple in Jesus' day, you would have seen the priests going on and on and on to Zeus or Apollo or whatever kind of God they were praying to. And I guess it's human nature to think that God must be like that. Because when we're talking to other people, or we're on the phone to some organization, we're used to having to wait. And we're used to having to jump through hoops or use the right formula. Or remind them 7 times, take the bins out, take the bins out, take the bins out. We're used to our messages not going through, so we think God must be the same way. And that's why so many religions, even today, they have their special words and their special rituals. And their endless mantras. You know, you can go to the Himalayas and you get these prayer wheels which blow round and round and round so that the prayers that are written on them keep coming up before the face of God. As if God needs wearing down, or God needs reminding. But before we look down on other religions, I guess we should say we can act the same way sometimes. Maybe we're praying, and we've really got quite a simple thing to ask. We make our point before God, but we sort of think the prayer's not really quite right unless we sort of bulk it out. And so we add titles for God and details, and we add reasons why he should listen, and the prayer has to be this long. That's how we think. Now, sure, those are all good things to put in a prayer, but we shouldn't think long prayers are more effective. We shouldn't think prayers that use a special formula are more effective. We shouldn't think prayers that are said in church are more effective. We shouldn't think prayers that the vicar says are more effective. Because God is our Father. And a good human father is never going to say to their kids, look kids, you're only going to get your dinner tonight if you ask me 7 times. A good human father is never going to say, you're only going to get your dinner tonight if you call me sir, or you can only talk to me at Sundays on Sundays at 10:30. Isn't it wonderful? That's how God is with us. Isn't that absolutely liberating? Jesus said we should be persistent in our prayers. He said we should keep asking God for stuff, but that's because we should really want the things we're asking for, not because God's only going to hear us the 12th time of asking. And set prayers are good things. We've just prayed a fantastic set prayer. But they're not super effective because they're set prayers. God doesn't need to hear the magic words. He just wants us to be genuine with him, like a little kid with the Father. And so, says Jesus, rather than babbling on and on to God, you can be short and simple and straightforward. And that's why in this passage he gives us a pattern for prayer, the Lord's Prayer. And we take this for granted, but the Lord's Prayer is incredibly simple and incredibly short and incredibly straightforward and direct and genuine and bold. There's no beating about the bush. There's no, oh Lord, we're so unworthy. That may be a good thing to say, but it's not in the Lord's Prayer. There's no endless titles for God. Those may be good things to add, but they're not in the Lord's Prayer because it's so simple. Because it's just the prayer of a little child talking to the Father. And that's why it starts, of course, the way it does. By the way, Jesus doesn't say, this is what you should pray, as if the Lord's Prayer only works if you say it word for word. Jesus has literally just said that's not how prayer works. Jesus says this is how you should pray. In other words, this is the sort of thing you should be praying for. So we could say these exact words, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, and so on. We do that every Sunday. Great. But we can also use these words as a springboard for our own prayers. And if you've never tried that, you might find that a really valuable thing to do. Maybe use each line as a springboard. Say the line and then add things that are on your own heart that relate to the line, to the request. We can bring our individual requests to God while still sticking to the pattern. It's supposed to be a pattern, not a straitjacket. And as I said, almost the main thing about it is that it's so direct and it's so genuine. It's the kind of prayer that only makes sense if God really is your Father. Now, we haven't got long to look at the content of the Lord's Prayer, because almost the main thing about it, as I said, is how direct it is. But there's a couple of things in the Lord's Prayer that are worth noticing. There's a couple of lessons about prayer in it. Again, frankly, things that only really make sense when God is your Father. The first thing in the Lord's Prayer, I think, is that it really teaches us to put God's agenda first. Those first three lines, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Now again, when I stop and think about it, I'm not sure I often pray like that. I think I usually jump in with my own requests. Lord, please help me with this or that. But you know, you get halfway through the Lord's Prayer and you haven't even mentioned yourself. Talk about putting God first. And those three things, they're all kind of saying the same thing. They're saying, please, Lord, would this world be a place where your name is honored and your kingdom is recognized and your rule is obeyed on earth as it is in heaven? Because, of course, in heaven, all those three things do happen. And I suppose we're praying for God's kingdom to come more and more on this earth, for people to become Christians and for Christians to become more Christian. But we're also praying for Jesus to come back, because of course when Jesus does come back, his name will be honored and his kingdom will come. We're doing both those things. But that whole first half is about God's agenda. We're praying for him to be glorified. And again, I think you can only do this when you trust that God is your Father. I mean, sure, you can pray to Zeus or some other god and you can say, your kingdom come, but you're probably only doing it because you're doing it out of fear or because there's something in it for you. But when you get that God has adopted you, he's made you his child, he's given you this intimate relationship with him, completely free of charge. Well, it takes a lifetime, but I do think you start to love him for it. And that means we actually want his name to be praised above all else. So that's one thing, putting God's agenda above our own. The other thing about the Lord's Prayer is that it teaches us that when we do ask things for ourselves, we mustn't be ashamed to ask for the basics. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. These are basic needs. Daily bread isn't literally just bread, it's water and shelter and clothes and everything else that we need to stay alive. But it's not a Mercedes.
And it's not a trouble-free life for the next 10 years. It's just, Lord, get me through the next day, please. Forgive us our sins. Jesus is saying, we need to ask God every day to forgive the sins of that day. Not as a sort of mechanical thing where it doesn't work unless you ask for forgiveness at 8:30 every morning, but as a way of saying, Lord, I understand that God, Jesus has taken away all my sins on the cross, and I want that to be true of the sins that I committed today. Jesus does say, as we've also forgiven those who sin against us, and that line can confuse us and it can worry us. But I think what it's getting at is there's not a kind of mechanical process where the cross doesn't work for us if we hold a grudge. What we're saying is that if we're forgiving others, it's a sign that God's grace is at work in us. It's a sign that we are forgiven people. People who are able to forgive others because we understand how much we've been forgiven. And so forgiving others is a sign that we have every right to ask God to forgive us because we're in his family. And lead us not into temptation. In other words, three really basic needs. And again, why should we bother God with the basics? Shouldn't we be a bit ashamed to worry him with such trivial stuff when he's the Lord of the universe? Well, not at all. Again, you just got to think about a little child with their father. A little kid doesn't go, Dad, you know, you must give me my dinner tonight because I've been such a good kid. There's no question of earning it. They just know they need to be fed and they're not afraid to ask for help. And there is only one kind of person in the world with the boldness to go up to the President of the United States and ask him for a sandwich. Isn't there? There's only one kind of person in the world who can do that. And at this point, hopefully you don't need me to tell you what kind of person that is. I said at the beginning that prayer was embarrassingly simple but really difficult to actually do. And you know what the secret to prayer is? Embarrassingly simple as well. It's God being our Father. That's the thing that unlocks the whole business. And yet, of course, it is something that takes a lifetime to fully get our heads and hearts around, to really understand God in this way. But it is just so utterly unique. No other religion comes close to describing the relationship between us and God this way. And so, even if it's just a little bit, getting our heads around the fatherhood of God is going to be the thing that helps us pray this week. And I think if we really take this to heart, it will help us. Maybe just remembering that God is our Father, that's going to make the difference we need. Or maybe we want to really dwell on one of the details that we've thought about today. There's the idea that God being our Father, it stops us worrying about what other people will think. That's really liberating. There's the idea that God being our Father, it means we can pray in a totally straightforward and simple way. That's really liberating. There's the idea that God being our Father, it means we can put God's agenda before our own because we love him. That's really liberating. And God being our Father, it means we don't need to be ashamed to ask God for the basics. That's four things. Personally, I'm just going to focus on one this week and really try and keep it in my mind every day. But there's got to be something here you can dwell on that's really going to help us pray in this really, really testing and troublesome time. Friends, what a father we have, and what an older brother we have in Jesus to show us what being children of God actually means. Let me pray. Father, we just thank you so much that you have adopted us. And we have this incredibly direct relationship with you, even if we don't fully realize it. Father, please help us to realize it. Please help us to be completely unashamed, to pray this week like little children talking to their father. Amen.